We're up to Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Chof Aleph. It's a story up to now, quickly before we move on. Yosef is in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife starts up with Yosef. She almost got him, so to speak. Yosef ran away, leaving the garment in her hand. Her husband came home. She snitched to the husband. He took Yosef and threw him into prison. That's where we're learning now. And the last thing we learned was that he didn't even kill him, because a miracle happened that Hashem didn't want him to be killed, because Hashem needed the whole story with the dream.
It's really cool outside. Why don't I turn this off? It's making a lot more noise. It's working.
No? I'm here.
Is that your boat?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk louder.
That's it, though. Maybe you close.
Okay, I can never win them all. Forget it. Just give up.
You're staying too far away. Not close.
Okay, so in the Pasuk of Aleph it says, "V'yi Hashem es Yosef." God was together with Yosef even in prison. "V'yetei lev chosed," and Hashem gave him, turned to him kindness. That means even in prison, Hashem showed the kindness that he had. That even in prison, Hashem was with Yosef to making him the successful person. And it says, even when a Jew suffers, the Pasuk tells us, that Hashem is with him. And that's what the Medrash says. What is the Pasuk saying? That Hashem was with Yosef even in prison? Which means, even though Yosef was suffering at the time, now a Jew is suffering, Hashem is always with the Jew. V'yeitel av chosed, Hashem caused him to have kindness, which means that everybody in prison liked and respected Yosef, even though normally prisoners are the no-nos of society, basically. But in this case, Yosef made sure that all the prisoners took a special liking to him. He was liked by everybody in prison. Vayitan chine, and he gave his favor, or its charm, be'enei sar beis haseyed, and the one who was in charge of the prison. Which means that Hashem made that even the guy in charge of the prison liked Yosef very much. So the Pasuk continues and says, "Vayitin tsar beis haseyed beyad Yosef." He liked him so much, he put Yosef in charge of the whole prison. He made Yosef in charge of the whole prison, actually. These guys were so lazy. The Potiphar got a guy to run the house. The head of the prison got Yosef to run the prisons. But Yosef was so successful that everybody gave it over to his hands, and it was even better than running it themselves. He gave him over all the prisoners at Sheber Beis HaSeir, which was in the prison. Meaning, as the Mefarshim explained, Yosef had the ultimate authority in prison. Ve'eis kol asher Yosef. And everything that he did, Yosef Sam, whatever, everything what was done there, hu ayah Yosef, he was the one that accomplished it. Meaning Yosef actually accomplished everything in the prison, mamish running the whole system. Okay, Ein Sar Beis HaSayad, the officer, the prison warden, meaning the one in charge of the prison, the Nazi is called Ma'uma Beyadei, he didn't even check him out at all, meaning whatever Yosef did was good enough for him. Ba'asher Hashem Itei, because Yosef was with him. In other words, the success was the fact that Hashem was with him. Ba'asher Hu Eisa, and everything he did, Hashem Matzliach. And as the Mefarshim point out, it doesn't only mean in prison. Whatever Yosef did ever was successful. The lesson from this, okay, these are psukim, we basically were more or less finished last time or two. The lesson over here is very simple. When you go with God, you're successful. When you go yourself, then you're not successful. Because that's what was Yosef's success. Hashem was always with him. He always mentioned Hashem's name. He understood that it was God doing it. And that was the source of his success. This is similar to a famous Gemara that's a very difficult Gemara to understand. One Gemara says, whoever saves one life is considered as if they saved the entire world. If you save one life, you save an entire world. Yet another Gemara says, Tev Shebereifim LeGehenim. The best of doctors is going to burn in Gehenim. This is what the Gemara says. So the Gemara, the commentaries ask, the best of doctors in simple English go to hell. That's what it means. So the question is, what do you mean the best of doctors go to Gehenna? When the Gemara says you save one life, it's like you saved an entire world. How can you say this? So there's many explanations of the Gemara. But the acute explanation of the Gemara is as follows. In the Shmona Esrei, originally, why is it called Shmona Esrei? Because there are 18. Now we have 19 brachas. But originally, the Shmona Esrei had 18 brachas. One of the bracha is, Rafa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafi, that God should heal us. Baruch atah Hashem, Reifei Chele Ame Yisrael. That Hashem is the healer of all the flesh. The number Tov is 17. What the Gemara means is as follows. Tov Sheberefim. A doctor who only believes in the 17 brachas of the Shmon Esrei, because he thinks he's the healer. He thinks not God is the healer. He is the healer. So that type of doctor, he goes to Gehenna. You can close it if you want. You want to close it? Okay, close it. Close it. Top left button. So that's what the Gemara says. Tov Sheberefim. If a doctor only believes in 17, if he believes in 17 brachas, what does this mean? A doctor that understands that he is Hashem's shliach, he's only God's agent, he is a successful doctor. When you go with your own powers, you don't have it. The same thing in Eretz Yisrael. When the armies of Eretz Yisrael go with Hashem fighting, and they're just the weapons, the tools, so then they're successful. When they go with Keichi Ve'etzim Yodi, it's my might and my strength and my power, so then they're not successful. So the Torah is teaching us over here, why was Yosef successful? Because of Hashem Ite, because God was with him. And as Rashi said before, everything he did was with Hashem's name. In other words, he understood he didn't take the credit for his personal greatness. He took the credit because of Hashem. Okay, that's the so to speak, the lesson from this. Okay, now this is where we're starting now. So the pasuk says, "Vayi achad advarim ha'ela." It was after these things, and the Medrash says, "How long afterwards? A year." Yosef was in prison for 1 year at this time.
How bad did he have it when he's in charge of the prison that he started begging for one of the right hands of the king to save him?
Oh, 1 second. Okay. That was Take. His downfall, even though halachically he was supposed to do what he did. We'll see that. It's a valid point. Just bring it up later when we learn it. Vayachad v'anamayelo was after these things, or recited directly from it, or some people say this right now was more or less at the same time. Chatu mashke melech Mitzrayim v'ha'ayfe. The butler and the baker sinned. The butler who pours the wine for the king, and the baker that bakes the bread of the king, the commentaries discuss, were they the actual butler and baker, or they were in charge of the butlers and bakers, and because of that they were held liable for what happened. What was their terrible sin? So there's different opinions. Rashi says the sin was that when the butler was giving the king the wine, there was a fly in the wine. And when the king was eating the bread, he found a pebble, a stone, in the bread. That was the terrible sin that they did. Some of Farshim learn much worse than this. They wanted to poison the king. But God made that instead of the king drinking the poison and eating the poison, what they did, they found the fly, which caused them to check out the wine, and they found the poison there. Because otherwise, the commentaries explain what would be the terrible sin. Listen, you serve a guy a cup and a fly comes. I mean, you can control the flies. I mean, how can you control the flies? So they say, the commentators say, the real sin was that they wanted to poison the king. Just like in the Megillah, Bix and Vesadesh wanted to poison Ahasuerus, but over there, Ahasuerus killed them on the spot. And here, they didn't. They just threw him into prison. And the commentators explain what was the difference. One is, Pari was a nicer guy, number one. Or the real answer the Mefarshim give is Hashem needed the butler and the baker to be in prison together with Joseph to have a dream that Joseph should interpret the dream for everything to happen as it happened. If the butler and baker would have been killed, the story wouldn't have happened. I mean, in the natural way.
All this story, nobody will find that Yosef can interpret a dream.
You know, if everything, this is the way it naturally happened. If not, if they didn't have dreams in prison, it wouldn't have happened. Okay, but again, Rashi learns the simple explanation that they had a fly in the wine and bread in the, and a stone in the bread. Now, now, if you notice in the Pasuk, and this the Klei Yaakov mentions, in Pasuk Aleph it says, who sinned? Mashkei Melech Mitzrayim v'ha'efer. The butler and the baker. Not the officer butler, the officer baker. The butler and the baker sinned. What does Pasuk Beis say? Vayikstif Pare al Shnei Sarisov. Pare got angry at his two officers. Al Sar HaMashkim v'al Sar HaEfer. And the officer of the butler and the officer of the baker. Why is the Torah to change the term? First, the Torah says Mashke and Eifa, the butler and the baker. And here it says the Sarah Mashke, the officer of the butler and the officer of the baker. So the Klei Yaakov learns an interesting thing over here. Who sinned was the butler and the baker himself, themselves. Who was imprisoned for it? The guys in charge. Because when the subordinate sins, who gets the blame? The ones in charge. This is really a pasuk later in Chumash. It says, "Vasimim b'rashechem." Simply, it means Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Chumash, appoint leaders for the Jewish people. Vasimim, and I will place them b'rashechem on your heads. I mean, take leaders, make leaders for the Jewish people. Asimim means in Hebrew, I will put, but it also comes in the word asham. Sins. And the Gemara learns out from here, Va'asimim is Va'ashamim. When you sin, God says, who am I going to blame? The heads. The heads. When the people sin, God says, it's the heads' fault. They didn't sin. The answer is, if the leaders don't teach the people the right thing, it's no good. What?
If you can speak louder,
take a microphone.
No.
Take a microphone.
Pretend it's important here.
Okay. Two problems. Excuse me.
No. Let's go, let's go.
Two problems. Number one, sometimes there is not enough
heads
in the community for the number of people. Number two, sometimes you can teach it, but eventually it drops off.
The answer to your first question is, first question is, you can have 100 sinners with one head. So what do you want from him?
Yeah.
The answer is, if he is the head, he is responsible for all the people, all 100. The head of the body is the nerve center for every organ and limb of the person. Even though there's one head and hundreds of, you know, organs and nerves and everything, but the nerve center of the body is in the head. And therefore, when people, look, I'll give a simple example. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Luchos, with the tablets. The Jew sinned. Who did he scream at, the first one? He screamed at Aaron. What's going on over here? What do you mean Aaron? What does he want from Aaron? The answer is, one head, 1,000 Jews, 10,000 Jews, it doesn't matter. Every head is responsible. If he's the head, he has a responsibility to every single person. That's number one. As far as your second question, why are the heads to blame if they taught and the people don't listen? This is another important thing. If the head teaches and the people don't listen, it's the head's fault. Because he has to learn how to communicate in a way that they will listen.
He's got a party with them.
It's to bring with them, l'chaim, yeah. It's to drink with them a little. But if the head, dvarim ayetzim in alev, something that comes from the heart, nichnasim al alev, enters the heart and does its effect, the Gemara says. If the head doesn't get across, it's the head's lack of communication with the people to make it work.
But at the same time, the individual has the freedom of choice. The head tells them, and then he decides not to listen.
Correct. The responsibility of the head is to make sure that the person chooses the right way to live. Yes, they have free choice. Correct. Everything is right. Nevertheless, they have the responsibility to communicate in a way that the person should know and feel what to choose. That's the story.
It's hard enough for the head to tell everyone to tell them, but I mean,
if you're a head, yeah. That's the problem. The responsibility comes with the position. The head of a household is responsible for everything that goes on in the household. That's the fact. The halachic fact. He's responsible for everything. The head of a city is responsible for the city. The head of the state. The head of the country. The head of the world is the world. They have that responsibility. Because if Hashem made them in the leadership position, Hashem gives them that ability. The definition of a leader, and by the way, head is not only a Rebbe who's the head of the entire Bnei Yisrael. We're talking about head of families, head of, you know, whatever it is, yeah? When Moshe Rabbeinu was about to pass away, and Hashem says to him, you're dying. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say the first thing? Hashem, get a leader. Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Hashem, Yidab Moshe Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Yevkeid Hashem Elokei Aruches Chobosor, may God pick a leader. What did he say? What did Hashem say? Take Yeshua. Hashem said to Moshe, okay, take Yeshua, Ish Asher Ruach Boy, a man with a spirit. And the Medrash says, what does it mean, a man with a spirit? Hayahelech Keneged Ruche Shokol Echad Ve'echad. He was able to go with the spirit of every single Jew. What does it mean he was able to go with the spirit of every single Jew? He knew how to put himself into every Jew on that Jew's level to be able to communicate with the Jew. The Rebbe Marash is a concept called Yechidus. What is Yechidus? You're going for a private audience with the Rebbe, right? So the Rebbe Marash said that the hardest part of Yechidus, what's the most difficult part of a Rebbe doing Yechidus? The dressing in and dressing out of every person that came into him. Meaning, a person comes into the Rebbe, in order to help the person, has to feel the person, right? So he has to put himself into that person that came into him for that minute. The person leaves, he gets out of that person, goes into the next person. And you have extremists going in. You can have 100 people going in at night. Let's say you can have 100 different levels, 100 different people, 100 different everything. So what's the difficulty? You have to go into this person on his level. Then you have to go out. Then you have to go in. You have to go out. It's very hard to put yourself in and out of a person on a level of in a way that you actually feel the person.
God help.
In other things, it's all the same way, by the way. A teacher of little kids, in order to teach properly for little kids, they have to put themselves thinking the way a kid thinks. And it's not easy, by the way. That's why you can have many geniuses that are awful teachers of little kids and big kids. They're awful teachers. Why? Because a good teacher has to be able to put himself into the understanding of the student to see how does the student take it. So if you're dealing with little kids, you have to put yourself into the... That's why there are teachers that are good for little kids and lousy for older kids. There are teachers that are great for older kids and lousy for little kids. Why? Because the definition of a good teacher is you're able to put yourself into the level of the kid. Okay? Now, ahead... And coming back to this klayak over here, the head of the butler is the head of the bakers, or the head of the bnei yisrael, whatever it is, the head is responsible for all the sins that are taken in their place. And you have this in politics, and you have this in a business. When something goes wrong, who is blamed? The president of the corporation. They didn't do it. They don't even know about it. If you're the president, you have to be on top of the situation. So therefore, the Kleyaka says that even though Pasuk Aleph says the butler and the baker sinned, not the officer of the butler and the officer of the baker. The butler and the baker sinned, but who did Pare get angry at? It said, Vayikzi Pare and the officers. Al Sara Mashkin, Al Sara Ethan.
Maybe he hit the butler and the baker, and then he put the head in jail.
Huh?
The butler and baker conspired to kill the king. He killed them and put their heads in jail.
It doesn't say he killed them, though. The Torah doesn't say it. Could be, but the Torah doesn't say that he killed them. Just one more point. There's a whole argument here amongst the commentaries. Which sin was worse, the butler or the baker? Rashi learns the baker's sin was worse. Why? Because of stone in the bread is not as bad, is worse than a fly that can just come. You know, when you're serving the cup, the fly comes. The Malbim and other commentaries learn the opposite. The baker, how's he supposed to see what's inside the bread? He can't see what's inside the bread, especially if he's the officer of the baker. But he didn't mean he baked it necessarily. It was, how can you see what goes in? The wine, though, he should have pushed away the fly. When he was giving the wine, he should have pushed away the fly, and he didn't. So there's two ways of learning which sin was worse. Now, the way Rashi learns is much simpler, because that explains why the king eventually saved the butler and killed the baker. And other people say that it was worse, but he killed him for a different reason, and we'll see later that explanation. Okay, but...
Dead.
Correct.
And
in the Megillah Esther, all over the place.
Which question is...
One second, you didn't finish.
Joseph, he was accused of doing such a thing with Pharaoh's wife, and he was only put into prison and not...
Potiphar's wife.
Yeah.
Again, the reason... You have the air conditioning on.
Come closer.
I can put it on.
Join our family.
No, this is the extended family. The extended family.
Just tell me the question.
The question is, how can you compare Yosef's sin for wanting to commit adultery for Tifa's wife with the sin that they did?
No.
It's not my question, I'm sorry. I don't understand your family.
You know, you can close the air conditioning if you want. The top left button. Yeah?
He wasn't ordered to be put to death, and he was just thrown in jail.
Right.
That's what it said.
That's what I said.
That's what he just said.
Sorry.
Why is it the same punishment of putting in jail for seemingly adultery versus a fly in the wine? How can you compare the crimes? So like we learned, the fact that Yosef wasn't killed was either because Fatifa loved him, because he ran the whole household and he was a great guy, and they really knew that Fatifa's wife was guilty, not Yosef, but Fatifa couldn't blame his wife, so he blamed Yosef. But and basically, like we learned last week, the Mefarshim say it was a miracle from God's part. Hashem didn't want Yosef to be killed. But you're right. Normally, if you notice, in the kings of old, as you see in Achish, you did anything wrong, they killed you. There's a famous story in the five novelettes, which is called Bustanoi. Over there is a brilliant guy. There's a guy that did something wrong to the king. and the king was going to kill him. And the guy is a smart guy. He says to the king, "Can I have at least one last wish before I die?" So the king says, "Okay, what do you want?" He says, "I want a cup of water. I want a cup of water." So the king says, "Fine, give him a cup of water." They give the guy a cup of water, and he says to the king, "Your Majesty, I'm afraid somebody's going to kill me before I finish drinking the water." So the king says, "I swear I will not kill you until you finish drinking the water." And the guy took the water and threw it on the floor. So the king says, "You're smart, I'm going to save you." He didn't kill him. In the olden times, even in Torah law, by the way, in Torah law, there's a rule. In fact, even in Bustanoi, there was this kid, Bustanoi his name was. It was the last descendant of David HaMelech's house. He was standing in front of the Persian king then. I think it was the Persian king. And there was a fly buzzing around his head, landing on his head. And the kid didn't move. He didn't even move to move away the fly. And the king was shocked at the self-control of this kid, that he didn't even go like this at least. And he says to him, "Why aren't you sending?" He says, "Because in Torah law, if you make a wrong movement, any movement, in the presence of a king, you get killed. That is the law. Man de machve b'moche kamemalke chayiv misa." The Gemara says, you make a wrong move. In the olden times, the fear of a king was so great, you said the wrong thing at the wrong time, you got killed. And Torah law says that. I'm not getting into the Batsheva story again with David HaMelech, but Mr. Batsheva, Uriah Hiti, was Chayiv Misa because in the presence of David HaMelech, he called Yoav, who was the general of the army. In the presence of David HaMelech, he called him my master Yoav, Adoni Yoav. For saying that word, my master Yoav, in the presence of David HaMelech, he was biblically, halachically obligated to get killed. So in the olden times, not only in Jewish kings, it's according to Torah, by the way, the same way. In secular law, in those days, you made a wrong statement. You said something. You did something in front of the king in the wrong way. That was it. You didn't exist anymore.
Yoav didn't know this law?
Uriah said it, not Yoav.
Uriah
probably didn't know the law. Or maybe he did. I don't know.
It was Pierre, no?
I don't know.
Even in Shah's time, you said the wrong thing. They never see you again.
He said the wrong thing. In front of a king today, you could tell the king and the president in his face what you think of him. And if he touches you, you'll sue him. But in the olden times, there was a law that there was a... You had to have the proper respect.
What's better?
Yes, less majesty.
Huh?
What's better? Today or before?
Before.
Yeah. Less majesty.
Because there is no discipline and respect in today's world.
Yeah.
In the olden times, there was a concept of respect to such an extent that in the presence of the king, Chassidim, no, you went into the Rebbe, you never sat. Even if the Rebbe tells you to sit. So there's this one guy from came from England, and his rabbi, I'm not going to mention any names, his rabbi in England said to him, "When you go into the Rebbe, remember, even if the Rebbe tells you to sit, don't sit." So the guy walks into the Rebbe says, "Sit down." He said, "No." The Rebbe said again, "Sit down." He said, "No." So finally the guy says to the Rebbe, says, "Sit." He said, "Rabbi so-and-so said I shouldn't." So the Rebbe said, "I won't tell him." I won't tell him. Today, in today's world, we discussed this in one of the Wednesday night women's classes about halacha of respect for parents and teachers and all that. The whole concept of ultimate bittul, ultimate respect in the presence of great people doesn't exist in today's world. And that's why the world looks the way it does. If Torah says, by the way, if Torah, which by the way is a Torah of kindness, Torah is not a cruel Torah. You know, Torah is a very understanding Torah. If Torah says, you move a drop in the presence of the king, you chayiv misa, it's because people have to learn that in the presence of royalty, which is, by the way, the God's shliach on the world. In fact, there's a whole halacha, we're going off the subject, I know, but there's a Kohen Gadol and a king. The high priest and the king, right? Who gets up for whom? So the halacha in Rambam, from the Gemara, the Rambam says, the halacha is, in private, in the king's chamber, in private, the king has to stand up for the Kohen Gadol. In public, the Kohen Gadol stands up for the king, and the king stands up for nobody in public. Why? Because the king is God's representative in public. In the Beis HaMikdash was the Kohen Gadol, therefore the king in private had to stand up for the Kohen Gadol. But in public, where the king is representing God, that's why the king had to demand, not for his own ego. Trust me, David HaMelech had no ego. David HaMelech was complete the level of Bittul, in the ultimate level of Bittul. David HaMelech...
Hello.
David HaMelech had the ultimate level of Bittul, and it wasn't for himself. And like we said, when we're learning the laws of respect of parents, parents have to demand respect from the kids, not because the parents need the respect, because the kids have to be taught that the parents have to be respected. Is that the parents have an ego? Big deal if the kid sits in your seat or not. What's the big deal? Parent doesn't care. The parent has to care because the kid has to be taught respect. You don't sit in the parent's seat. You don't speak back to a parent. You're not your friend. So the responsibility of the sin, coming back to the Chumash, the responsibility of the sin is the responsibility of the officers in charge. Therefore, who did Pari get angry at? The officers of the bakers and the officers of the butler.
But in my life, when I was 10 years old, the king is coming in our town. The preparation was for 3 months. He come in the town. I saw him for 10 minutes. And I was in the chorus, in the front, to sing. And they said, to stay and don't move. Don't, with eyes.
Yeah.
And this king here. And I feel it in my side. But I feel the fear. And I saw the king with the helmet, with the golden helmet. So nobody move.
Okay, nobody move. Let's go. Vayitan Eisen b'mishmar. Vayitan Eisen b'mishmar. Pasi Gimel. He put him in prison. The butler, the officer, the butler, and the baker. Beisar tabochim, in the house of the executioners. Or again, tabochim would mean the butcher or the executioner. The different way of learning. Al beisar say it to the house of the prison. Mekayim asher Yosef asher sham, the place where Yosef was imprisoned. Okay, meaning he ended up to be in the same prison where Yosef was, as a preparation that Radak says for the next pasuk that happens. What happened? Vayivked, now that Yosef was in charge of the prison, right? Vayivked asara tabachim es Yosef itam, the officer, the head warden, put Yosef in charge of them. By Yisharis Esam, well, not the charge, he took care, that Yosef took care of them. By Yisharis Esam, and he served them. So it says, why did Hashem make that Yosef should get involved with the officer of the butler? After all, Yosef was a servant. He was a slave. Why did he get involved with the officers of the butler and the bakers? So Barbadel explains, because Hashem wanted this connection that eventually led to Yosef becoming, to interpreting the dreams. Okay. So meaning, Yosef was appointed to serve them. Why? Because he took, the executioner took the best of the servants in prison to serve them. They were high royalty, so to speak, and so on. Vayil yomim b'mishmar, they were 12 months in prison. Basically, I said the wrong thing in the wrong time. Yosef, right after Yosef was in prison, the butler and the baker sinned. It wasn't a year. It was after they sinned, until their dream was a year. What happened was like this. Yosef was thrown into prison. The butler and the baker sinned shortly afterwards. They were thrown into prison. Everybody was in prison for a year. In the years, at the end of the year, that's when the butler and the baker had a dream. Now the commentaries in the Medrash explain what really happened was like this. It was Pari's birthday when they sinned. So they were in prison for a year for an evaluation for the next birthday. That's the way it used to work. You were what day was like the judgment day? The birthday of the king. So therefore they were put into prison for a year because they sinned on the birthday. So they had to be in prison a whole year. It so happens that 3 days after the dream was Parah's birthday. So they were like a year minus 3 days from the dream. Okay, now what happened? Pasuk is a very important pasuk. Vayachalmu chaleim shneihem. And here, the pasuk, if you take it, the literal Hebrew doesn't make sense. Unless if you learn like the Medrash says. Vayachalmu chaleim shneihem. Simply it means as follows. Both of them dreamt. Ish chaleime belayla echod. Each man had his dream on the same night. Ish kepisrein chaleime. Each one, the interpretation of his dream. The puzzle doesn't make sense before we explain it. Hamashka la'efa, the butter and the baker. Asher la'melech Mitzrayim, which would belong to the king of Egypt. Asher asurim v'esaser, which were in prison. What the puzzle simply says, each one had a dream. The same night, each one had a dream. But that's not what the pasuk was saying, if you take the words literally. Now let's see the pasuk again. Vayachalmu, they dreamt, chaleim shneihem. Each one dreamt both dreams. What happened was as follows. Not only did they dream two dreams, each one dreamt the interpretation of the other one's dream. That means a lot of miraculous things happen with this butler and baker's dream. Number one, after a year's time, they ended up dreaming the same night. From a whole year, yeah. At the end of the year, they both dreamt the same night. Each one dreamt two dreams, one the primary dream, one the second one's dream. Not only that, but they dreamt the interpretation of each other's dream.
How you see in the pasuk
this
interpretation of each other?
Ish kepisrein chaleime. No, it says Sirashi says.
Yeah, no,
Sirashi says. Huh?
How he sees it from pasuk that if it was interpretation of the other.
Rashi says. Rashi learns he dreamt his dream and the dream of his friend. Now the proof of it is later on in the pasuk, because it says the butler saw that he interpreted well. So the way Rashi learns, each one had one dream and the other person's interpretation. Okay? Some people say they actually dreamt both dreams. They dreamt both dreams.
Not clear. Pitron Chalomo, maybe
Chalomo
said himself.
Huh?
It's not clear from the pasuk.
It's a dream.
Rashi says from the later pasuk.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Now, it wasn't as the Mefarshim explained. There are many dreams. Everybody dreams. Yeah. Not all dreams demand interpretations. Certain dreams demand an interpretation of the dream. You know, to figure out what the dream meant. Like, Pari woke up by his dreams, Yosef had his dreams. There are certain dreams that the Torah is discussing were very vivid dreams that the people felt very strongly that it needed to be interpreted. And without the interpretation, it wouldn't be, you know, worth anything. So the pasuk says, each one dreamt either both dreams, or like Rashi learns, one dream plus the interpretation of the other one. Okay, and each one, the Barbanel says that each one thought, until Yosef interpreted it, Yosef thought both dreams meant the same thing. I mean, the people thought both dreams meant the same thing. We don't know yet what the dreams are, but soon we're going to learn what the dreams were. But each one thought the dreams were, both dreams were the same dream. That's what they thought. Yosef came and enlightened them that they're two opposite dreams. One's getting killed and one's going back on the post.
Why they didn't tell each other the interpretation?
Because they didn't think that the interpretation was the dream of the other one. Okay. And it could be that they didn't even know, meanwhile, that each one dreamt.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about dreams?
You can ask, it probably won't answer. But what do you want to know?
is it like, what's the difference between your own consciousness thinking a thought and a dream? I mean, is it coming from outside of you, or it's coming from inside of you?
What type of dreams are you talking about?
A dream at night.
There are good dreams, there are bad dreams, there's holy dreams, there's evil dreams, there's a lot of issues. For instance, in Torah it says, dreams go by the way you interpret them. Whatever way, the Gemara, we learned in the Gemara Brachas, when we're learning Brachas Sunday morning, there's a whole story with Abai and Rava, that they both were dreaming, and one, both went to the interpreters. One paid and one didn't. So the guy that paid, the interpreter, interpreted all the dreams for good, and all the dreams came out good. Then the one that didn't pay, the interpreter got angry at him, so he interpreted all the dreams negative, and that's what happened. And then later they found out that's what the cause of it, and the whole thing happened. He paid him, and then he turned around all the dreams for good. There is a level of dreams, and Tanya Dal Rebbe says, dreams sometimes, especially bad dreams, is because the neshama is not pure enough to go completely up, yet it's not completely down. So it's in between up and down. And because it's in between up and down, it still has the visions of this world, and that's what tortures him. That's one concept of dreams. There's another concept of dreams that, for instance, if a person learns Torah properly during the day, so it says many times, scholars, real scholars, if they were learning during the day and we had questions and learning remaining with them, when they woke up in the morning, the questions were answered. Why? Because the neshama went upstairs, it wasn't limited and restricted by the body, so therefore it was able to reach higher levels of understanding of Torah. Many prophecies were given in dreams. Prophecies were given in dreams. So it depends who the dreamer is, what the dream is. Basically, if you ignore dreams, nothing will happen. That's why if somebody has a bad dream, there's a thing, you come to a shul in the morning, you set up a bezdin, it's called Hatovas Chalom, making a dream into something good, and the guy says, oh yeah, I had a bad dream, blah, 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 and the bezdin says, no, you saw a good dream, you saw Chalma Tova Chazise, you saw a good dream, you saw a good dream, you saw a good dream, and the fact that they're interpreting it, they don't even know what the dream is, that they're interpreting it in that. Now, a lot of times, dreams don't mean anything, because if you think about it during the day, and you dream about it at night, it's not a sign of prophecy. What do you expect? You thought about it. We tell many times the famous story, a guy once came to shul in the morning. This is what they tell the story. A guy came to shul in the morning, and he was very, very upset and depressed. So somebody said to him, what's your ankle? What's wrong? He said, oh, I had a terrible dream. What was the dream? It's so terrible, I can't even say it. So, that's when you really want to know what the dream is. So they nudged him and they nudged him. Finally, he told the people, what was his dream? He dreamt that God died. That was a terrible dream, that God died. So Sven said to him, ah, big deal, Yankel. You probably thought about it during the day, so you dreamt about it at night. He says, I didn't think about God for ages already. So that couldn't be the reason for the dream. I didn't think about God for ages already. So a lot of times, if somebody thinks, something bad happens during the day, so a lot of times you dream about it at night, God forbid, things like that. But dreams have a place in Yiddishkeit. The best thing is, if you have a bad dream, ignore it. Because again, it goes by the way you interpret it. If you interpret everything for the positive, it turns out well.
When the Kohanim made them, you read about dreams.
We read about dreams. That's also that all the dreams should be good.
When the Kohanim
do, yes. Right.
Okay, here we're reading Rashi, and we have a Rashi reader. And Rashi is saying that each one was explaining the dream according to his interpretation, which means everybody dream a dream with which will interpret the future.
I said Rashi learns it was one dream and one interpretation. That's what I said. Rashi learns it's one dream and one interpretation.
Not two dreams and two
right. Right. I said Rashi learns. Oh. I said Rashi learns one dream and one interpretation. But did each one dreamt the other one's interpretation?
The other
one. Right. Right. Okay. Now, why does it say over here again, Asher leMelech Mitzrayim, in Pasuk at the end, it says, which belonged to the king of Egypt. I mean, obviously we know that there were the butler and bakers of the king of Egypt. Mm-hmm. So it says, this shows the significance of the dream. In other words, Rashi explains, what's the Torah saying? This was important in the meaning of the dream. This was the meaning of the dream. Now, to give you an example, like the Mepharshim say, they bring down over here that the chamberlain dreamt of wine. Okay, he dreamt of wine. Wine is a concept of simcha. He dreamt bread being snatched away by birds. That dream symbolizes itself, the concept of being snatched away, of being taken away and being killed or whatever it is. So based on the dream, Yosef understood, well, obviously with Hashem's divine inspiration, how to interpret the dream. So each one had a dream. Yosef came to them in the morning. So commentaries ask, where did he come from? It says, Yosef came to them in the morning. So simply, like Rashi doesn't even bother asking the question, because, what do you mean? He came to them from his bed to their bed. But the Mepharshim asked, not in Pshat, in the simple meaning, where did he come from? So they answered two things. Either he slept in a lower dungeon, because they were royalty. I mean, they were part of the king's people, so they slept on a higher level dungeon. And he slept in a lower level dungeon and he came up in the morning to serve them. Or some people want to say that in the Medrash that Yosef didn't stay overnight in prison. He went to take care of Tifer's household. The Medrash says Yosef would go every day to attend Tifer's household needs. And because Tifer was in charge of the prison, like we learned before, Potiphar was the guy in charge of the prison. So logically, Potiphar's house was connected to the prison. So he came from Potiphar's house to the prison to see what's doing with them. And he saw Vinam Zayafim, that they were aggrieved, meaning they were very upset. Okay?
Why did he have to plead with those people, the butler maker, to get him out if he wasn't stuck in jail?
No, because officially he was in jail for specific times of the day. House arrest, you know. But then he...
But you see, but now the war's there still.
Yeah, but obviously that was over. The affair was over. Fair. What?
How bad was he having it that he had to beg these two people?
Well, that's what he was asking.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact was, Yosef was still in prison. He was still a prisoner. He didn't have the freedom to go around. He didn't... You know, like house arrest, you're not allowed to, can't go around wherever you want, you're still stuck in a certain place. Yosef was still the head of the prison, but nevertheless, so the Medrash says, where did he come from? He came from serving for Tifa, and then he came to take care of the prisoners.
It was always so. The chief of the prison can
yeah, but Yosef was a prisoner. Not
No. The chief of the prison can take up prisoner to his house to do something.
Yeah, that's
house.
True also. That's true also. But yeah, he was still a prisoner. Yeah, he was still a prisoner. And he's right. Okay. But Yishal Asirisi Pare, so Yosef asked the officers of Pare, should Ite B'mishmad, which was with him in the prison, Beis HaDein of Lema in the house of his master, and he said to them, Vadua Pnechem Roy Mayim, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? Now, Yosef understood, the question is, who cares? Why should Yosef care that these two guys, these two Egyptian people, should have bad dreams? He should ignore them. This is an unbelievable lesson, by the way. Yosef understood divine providence. As the Baal Shem Tov said, was your Tzedek coming up on Shavuos? The Baal Shem Tov said, whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you know about, the fact that Hashem made you aware of it, that you know it, or see it, or hear it, or aware of it, is because Hashem wants you to do something about it. Because Hashem, the Gemara says, doesn't create anything in the world for no reason. God didn't create one thing in the world for no reason. And the Baal Shem Tov took the Gemara to a deeper level. Not only didn't Hashem create one thing in the world for nothing, Hashem doesn't make anything happen in the world for nothing. Yosef understood, if I am in prison with these people, if I'm in prison with these people, and I must see now that they're upset, I have an obligation to check it out and find out what can I do about them being upset. What the lesson is to me, Yosef said, and what I could do about it. Because Yosef understood, if Hashem did, if it didn't matter, Hashem wouldn't have made him aware of it. They could have dreamt and not spoken about, not felt it, or whatever, that Yosef shouldn't know about. Which obviously the important lesson is, whenever a Jew sees something, contact with somebody, we mentioned many times the story that I heard from the person that happened to himself. This big Rav in Montreal bought a house from somebody. Bought a house. He went into the Rebbe and he told the Rebbe he bought a house. So the Rebbe asked him from whom? He said from a Jew. So the Rebbe asked him, does the Jew put on tefillin every day? So the Rabbi said, I don't know. I mean, I bought a house from him. I didn't... So the Rebbe was very, very upset with him. And the Rebbe said to him, why do you think God made you buy a house from this Jew? To buy a house from the Jew? No. Because you had to meet this Jew to see what level of Yiddishkeit he has and how you can improve this person's Yiddishkeit. How did Hashem get you in touch with this guy? He made you buy a house from him. But that's secondary. Buying a house is the secondary issue. The primary issue is that Hashem wanted you in touch with this and this person. So he says the primary reason why you met this person was to see if he's religious or not and what's to do with mitzvahs. So you blew it. Because whatever Hashem does is for the purpose. So Yosef, and this is the, you see clearly the lesson from the pasuk. Yosef came and saw that they were sad. Yosef said, one minute, this is not for no reason. This is something that we have to deal with it and take care of it. Okay. And Bechlau, it's another lesson also, I mean, along the same lines. If you see a person is upset, you're supposed to talk to them and find out what you could do to make him non-upset.
That's true.
Besides Hashkocha Pratis, I mean, this is in the Inyan Bein Adam L'Chaveri. A person is sad, a person is upset, you find out why. Is there anything you could do to make it better? Taking it a step further, something that we discussed many times also. You know how Moshe Rabbeinu was picked to be a leader? The first Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, besides the story that the sheep ran away and he chased it and he brought it back, that's Medrash. That's Medrash, which is... But if you look in the pasuk, there's also a phenomenal lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a burning bush. The bush is burning and not being consumed. It's not burning up. It's still burning. It's not getting destroyed. So the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me go see this great phenomenon happening. Why isn't the bush becoming consumed? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me see what's going on. He saw something weird, something strange happening in the world. So he said, let me check it out. What does the pasuk say? Vayar Hashem kisar liris. Hashem saw that he turned to see. So the pasuk says Hashem appeared to Moshe from the bush. In the same pasuk, Hashem saw that he turned to see. So Hashem talked to him from the bush. What's the lesson over here? Hashem saw this is a leader. Something's happening. Check it out. Don't ignore it. If something in the world is going on, what is the story? Check it out. What does God want? When Hashem saw, and this is Chumash, this is not Medrash already, this is the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Vayar Hashem kisor lirais, vayera eilav Hashem mitechasna. Hashem belav ha-seish mitechasna, Hashem appeared to him. Why? For one reason. Meshe Beinu saw something, he said, let me check it out. Yosef comes here in the prison, he sees something strange, they're upset, check it out. The lesson for us, something's going on, check it out. See what's going on.
Shikoya.